Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockersmith and Greg Pickle, we're guiding you through 60 minutes of Penn State football talk. We're talking, for starters, some news from the weekend, looking ahead just a little bit. We got a new commitment to discuss. Lift for Life was a good event, as it usually is. The opening is going on right now down in Dallas for the first time. Penn State's got now five commitments taking part in that national recruiting event. We'll cover all that ground. We'll also talk to North Stafford, Virginia high school football coach Joe Mangiano about Nana Asidu, his heart condition. I'm sure we'll discuss that in a little bit as well, Greg, just how that came about, how they discovered it, and the whole process behind the scenes. So we'll get his take on that. We'll round out the show with another episode of Ask Greg, your questions for the great Greg Pickle over here. Let's get started, Greg, with just obviously with Lance Dixon, the four-star from Michigan. He is a linebacker, 6'2", about 200 pounds, a really good frame that you can see being in that 225 range without losing much. The 10th commitment in the class has happened on Sunday afternoon. And really, Greg, I guess the timing of it is it wasn't that sudden, I suppose, but with him, what a good player. And anytime you're going to get a player like this who fits exactly where they want to go with this linebacker position, it is ideal.
No question about it, Dustin. I mean, Lance Dixon was a guy that had a top five of Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and of course Penn State. So you're talking about not only a Big Ten related win, but you also went heads up with Michigan and Michigan State to get a kid out of West Bloomfield, Michigan. And I think that says a lot. The question that many are going to ask right now are, though, it's twofold. What is he going to bring to Penn State? And then also, is there any threat that down the road, Michigan or Michigan State might push really hard for him to try and flip him? I don't think that's the case. I just don't think he's the kind of kid that wants to make a pledge and then start looking around again. So I don't think there's anything to worry about on that front. And then when you talk about what he can do, I mean, Dustin, he is a guy that really it runs, you know, his coach made a point in an interview with 247 Sports that he is a guy that is just, he looks like he could play safety, but he hits like he plays linebacker. Who does that make you think of? Marcus Allen. And I think that we saw what Brent Pry did with Allen as it relates to him playing safety but coming down to the box. And now you have a guy in, well, you really have three of them, quite honestly, in Micah Parsons, Brandon Smith, and now Lance Dixon, who are able to be athletic like that. And this sort of to tie it back to Lift for Life for just a quick second, Dwight Gault, the head strength coach, was talking about the linebacker group that Penn State has, and he said by far it's the most athletic and the fastest group he's had. And he made a point that when they got here in 2014, he was a bit surprised to, he didn't call him slow, but I mean, the point was that they had very good linebackers here, but they weren't that quick. They were not, you know, they're not running blazing 40 times by any stretch of the imagination. And now Penn State's really getting a group that can do that, is freakishly athletic, and Lance Dixon's just the latest example of that.
They keep adding to it, and I think that's the most impressive thing. 247, I found it interesting. They love Lance Dixon.
Yeah.
They have him at number five, the number five outside linebacker in the country, number 72 player overall, where in the composite, he's value, but not to that extent. I don't know the numbers offhand, but he is, I mean, part of it is just you have to see the vision here. At 6'2", 200, you're kind of in that tweener territory, but he played a couple seasons at safety. He's played one season at linebacker. He'll be playing a second season at linebacker. Yep. Kind of like with Brandon Smith, where you're like, okay, is he a defensive end or is he a linebacker? Then you see his tape and you're like, okay, he's a linebacker. With Lance Dixon, you might wonder if he's a safety or linebacker. He could be either or both, or Marcus Allen is a really good example. He is physical like a linebacker. He's got instincts that need to develop with some more experience, but 2 years of playing linebacker at the high school level are going to help him immensely at the next level.
Yeah.
And I just think he's a great player, a great addition to this class. Another step in the right direction for the linebackers who, yeah, I think they've gone to a whole nother level. You look back at 2014, 2015, 2016, Franklin's first years on campus, he had what he had. And then I think we talk about the defensive tackle position uh-huh. and how they've had some bad luck, some hard luck, some bad breaks along the way, trying to develop depth there. It's kind of been the same thing at linebacker along Correct. The way. And then whatever year it was where Troy Reader transferred to Delaware, that was a blow to the depth that they still haven't quite recovered from. But Agreed. That recovery is going to go to the next level and very, very soon. I think you're going to see the guys, Jesse Luketa, Micah Parsons from the 18 class, really start to take ownership of that group, maybe in the second half of the 2018 season, and then you've got some dynamic athletes coming through here. It's gonna be really a sight to see.
Yeah, it is. And isn't this a little bit of a feather in the cap for Charlie Catcher? Because a lot of people wondered what the former three-star recruit, now true freshman out of Cumberland Valley, where he would fit. But as you see Penn State continue to really look for at the linebacker and safety spot, what do they want? They want fast, athletic, big guys. And Charlie Catcher checks all those three boxes. And Dustin, when you asked guys before they all signed who was the most athletic guy in the class, he was the one that just came up over and over and over again. So I think it's good news for Charlie Catcher as well. But going back to Dixon, yeah, I mean, and the other thing that strikes me too is that, again, they're able to go into the Midwest and get this guy. I mean, again, he had a Big Ten top five. Anyone of the powers in the Big Ten could had this kid. Penn State hosted him a few times and closed the deal.
And I think that if you didn't know by now, James Franklin can recruit,
right?
You know, and staff wide they can recruit, and there's good strategy at play, and they develop relationships well. You know, I've spent the last few weeks a lot of times on this show trying to get some insights on into how that unfolds with a player, whether right. through his coach or whatever. And it's a courteous group of guys. They're responsive. You know, I talked to Joe Mangiano, who we're going to talk to in a little bit, and that's what he said, that he has experience with coaching staffs all over the country, and there just aren't any more that are more responsive to his questions and stuff than Penn State staff. And you see, when you can relate and connect to kids, when you've got something to sell, which Penn State is a pretty good program to sell anyway, and you have the attitudes and you have the personalities they do,
yep.
it all comes together. And so nothing really surprises me anymore, especially going into Michigan to get a linebacker that those programs want. And to speak to the decommitment threat or whatever, Lance Dixon did his diligence already, you know, and I think that's part of the new recruiting calendar, and it's part his approach to the spring was to see all these schools. There's not going to be Michigan and Michigan State. They can push harder in the fall, I guess, but they're not going to present anything new that he hasn't already seen.
Right.
And you look back to, you remember the kid Jared Wangler?
Yeah.
Who was from Michigan.
Blast from the past.
I don't think, at some point in the last year or so, I checked into what he's done. I don't think Penn State missed a whole lot in terms of productivity from him. But anyway.
It's a nice way to put it.
He committed to Penn State before he had a Michigan offer.
Right.
And he's from Michigan. Then Michigan offers late in the game, and that changes the game. That dynamic doesn't exist.
Man, I hate to say it, but you know what's bad when the top of your career bio is that you're an academic all-Big Ten pick. That tells you all you need to know about Mr. Wangler. Yeah, look. Oh, he's actually moved to fullback for his senior season. I don't know if you were aware of that. But
oh, man.
Now, that so ties Penn State all of Penn State's something. Favorite yes. things together. That's right. They did miss out. You got to take it from here. I don't even know what to say.
Well, let's get into. I'm not sure we'll be able to get through all of the Lift for Life stuff, because what you have is the physical display that they put on. You also have, you know, your observations of some kids that you haven't seen before, maybe right. kids you haven't seen in a while. So just start with the fundraising component of it, raising money for uplifting athletes over $100,000 again.
Yeah, no, it's impressive yet again. I mean, you look at how this event has just grown and grown and grown from the time it started and raised $13,000 in the summer of 2003, and it just keeps getting stronger. The date change this year, I think, was a concern in terms of both attendance and fundraising, but last check, Dustin, everything worked out just as planned. There was a nice crowd on hand to route the guys on as they were doing their events, and I mean, you look at the grand total posted by the Uplifting Athletes folks, $111,940.24, and keep in mind, money still come in for that total. I mean, there'll be people that, you know, they'll think it's the Saturday of Arts Fest and they go donate and they realize they have missed it, but they can still donate. So you can still do that at pledgeit.org/team/Penn State Uplifting. That's not right. We'll get the right one. It's pledgeit.org/team/Penn State Lift for Life 2018. There we go. But yeah, so It was a great event yet again. The date change didn't make it any less significant, and we'll see what they do moving forward with that. But yeah, it was good.
What stood out to you in terms of observing guys on the current team or the freshmen too? You know, a few weeks back, you saw Judge Culpepper for the first time, and I know that kind of blew your mind.
But right.
What stood out about the day just from a physical standpoint?
You know, I think there were a couple guys that really jumped off the page. I think that, you know, one that it really was impressive. I mean, Micah Parsons always looks good. You can never doubt that. But I thought Koa Farmer looked about as good as he ever had. John Reed is, I mean, to say he's itching to get back on the field is the understatement of a lifetime. But it's also clear that he didn't waste time rehabbing from an injury that cost him off last season. I mean, he looks like a bigger player. And then the freshman class. I mean, I'm not even going to list out guys specifically, but just the group as a whole. I mean, it's interesting because Penn State's never had this highly rated of a class, or if they have, it's been a long time in weightlifting. Has changed significantly since then, but these guys all look like they could play from day one. They obviously won't, and there's certainly technique issues that some of them have, but I'll tell you what, Dustin, they all look like they could play from the get-go, no question.
Well, we talked about this, what was it, last week when they updated the roster, and you saw some of these numbers,
yeah,
weight-wise and that kind of thing, that just blew your mind a little bit. Two of the defensive tackles jumped out, Aeneas Hawkins at 292 pounds and Judge Culpepper 296. Something along the way, not only is this Penn State's best class in a long time. What was it, the 2005 class that had the five stars that kind of helped turn Penn State around when it was struggling a little bit? But this class not only has all that talent and from top to bottom, one of the deepest ever for Penn State, but then I don't know whether it was a marching order or whether self-initiative or what, but all these guys are so ready from a physical standpoint, it's unbelievable. And Dwight Gault really hasn't even spent a whole lot of time with most of them yet. There were the January and May enrollees, and so you have that dynamic, more time on campus. But
yeah,
boy, I mean, the readiness of these guys, I'm curious to see how it plays out in 2018, but certainly there looks like a pretty good group of guys between true freshmen and redshirt freshman season. They're going to be on the field, and they're going to make an impact in some way, shape, or form.
The thing that really jumped off the page to me, Dustin, was that they had guys come in scattered this year. You had some in January, you had some for the first summer session, you had a couple guys pop up in between. Dwight Gault said he was worried, quite honestly, about the fact that some of these guys showed up when there were no classes going on. And what do? You can come lift for a little bit and all that, but what do the rest of the time? You worry about guys getting in trouble. No problems to report with this group of kids. Very good on and off the field. And we'll see. But I thought the offensive linemen looked good too. If this isn't Penn State's best group of the James Franklin era, it's going to be an outrageous disappointment, because they have everything lined up to be easily the best group that Penn State had it since Franklin arrived.
Greg Pickle knows a thing or two about outrageous disappointments.
That's right.
Take his word for it. We got more here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. I want to go back to some more Lift for Life observations, hear what Dwight Gault had to say, and we'll get into a commitment watch and all kinds of other news as well, so stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs, as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.